I have been going through the book of Acts, and we're doing the series To the Ends of the Earth, a study of the early church. And I believe that we need to return to some of the ways of the early church. What do you think? As you will hear from Dan a little bit later, this generation will not be reached with most present-day messages and strategies. The message, the mixed message of law and grace, the methods that are, they're just not working. And there people are leaving churches by the droves, as we've talked about. So the question for today is this on the screen. How can we share the good news of Jesus to this generation of people today? Yes, our local church can be a way and is a way, but most people are never going to come to this church as cool as this is. I'm just telling you, that's the truth, right? So what are we going to do? As I read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, I want you to look at what they're doing, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, are there some things here we can learn? Not that we've got to do everything just like the local church did. That doesn't mean that we got to do things just like it. We're in a different culture today, but there's some principles there, I think. Anyway, as we read through this, you just kind of really open your heart, and after that, I feel Dan probably has his finger on the pulse of church movements better than Philip and me and anybody else here. He's going to say you need to drop all this, but anyway, I just want you to know a little of his background, and maybe he'll share a little bit. But he's in the coffee shops, he's got a home group, he's listening to these young pastors that are coming out of seminary or are leaving the traditional church, what they're doing, and I mean, I don't have a clue a lot of this stuff, and he's got a lot of great insight, and I just know God's got a powerful word through him today. And we're going to have open discussion after that, and we got such a great message. How do we take it out there? We are the church. There's a lot of ways we can do it. But anyway, that's kind of what this topic is today. But just really pay attention as I read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Dan, would you come on up, please? Give him a hand.
Hey, let's pray. Holy Spirit, you've prepared us for this today. And I'm overwhelmed. But I just want to ask for your mercy, for your wisdom, your power, and your strength, that whether this be a rousing success or viewed as a complete failure or anything in between, that to you be the honor and glory. We're going to do what we're able to do, and we know that you're leading it, and we just want your spirit to be so thick in the place that if we turned around, we're going to bump into him. Lifting all this up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I'm not who I used to be, but I'm redeemed. And I just want to tell you something. I was watching an episode of Bones. Anybody a family or a fan of watching Bones on TV? So, you know, the big burly dude and his squeeze, they've got a case going that involves a minister who is transgender. He's had an operation, become a she. And there they are in church in the final episode, and they're listening to the dude's dudette's son, who has now taken over her church. And the big burly guy is sitting back there and saying, wow, redeemed and transformed. He gets it. He gets that's what it's about, redeemed and transformed, because that's what it's about. We talked about this the last time Carlton was silly enough to let me speak, that we're a welcoming and mutually transforming group of people. That's kind of sort of one of the goals of the church. And frankly, we don't do that very well in the traditional church, okay? So I want to give you just a touch of a background, because when you listen to folks out there in the world today, this group of people, Grace Cafe, and he's the leader, we're a progressive liberal church, in case you didn't know that, okay? Now, that's the opposite end of the scale are the conservative, you know, Republican folks, the traditional church. We're considered way down here. Now, we know that's not the case, but we're going to accept whatever they label us and try and move forward with that. But that's where they consider us today. We are, in fact, the fringe element of church life as it exists, especially in Carroll County. And I've heard this, as I know Carlton has from people as well. They're calling me names. It's true. Now, I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict, so I've been called names before. Doesn't bother me in the least. Been kicked out of a few churches by admitting I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict. And for those of you who are just diehard traditional churches, yes, I have been delivered from my addiction. So, amen. Hallelujah. Praise to God. So just a little background about church. We read Acts 2, 42, 47 this morning. And what a neat way to start. And shortly, you know, the birthday of the church, Pentecost, day one of the church age, the Holy Spirit's in about, I don't know, 120 or so people in the upper room, right? And then he goes out and he gives his big sermon. Wow, that's what Carlton's shooting for, is that big sermon, just like Peter. Probably never going to get there, but he's going to keep trying. We're gonna look at that because he hit the three, and some people break it into five major points that sermons are supposed to hit on. You talk about the law and the prophets. You talk about everything that pointed to Jesus coming. And then you talk about Jesus coming, his life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and all of that. Then you tell the people what that means for them today. This means that you have been redeemed. Okay? You've been transformed. Your old self is dead. Your sins are forgiven. The enemy is defeated. Really cool stuff. And then Paul, in chapter 13, he does the exact same thing in the church in Antioch. He does the exact same speech, a few different words, but it's exactly the same 3 points. Okay? Now, the reason I know this is because we're covering Acts in our small group right now, and we're getting into it very, very deeply. And we had a whale of a discussion the last 2 weeks. God apparently is angry, according to some people who attend our group, and we're trying to work through that. But that's what we do in a small group environment, is we bond in those relationships, and this couple that's been coming a year now is beginning to see some light relative to the grace message, and yet he's still trying to drag all this old stuff with him, and he can't reconcile the two, okay? So he's got a problem, because you can't reconcile grace with law. Don't work. Got to leave the law behind and move on. So that's where we are with this particular guy in our small group. And we're, you know, God has been working mightily. A couple of the people there this week were instrumental because I dropped the ball. I mean, I actually got frustrated with the guy. And they just jumped right in, and the gifts of the Spirit that they have, picked the ball right up, moved right on. And I'm grateful. That's what this is about. So Peter and Paul did the big sermons, and that was great. That was generation one of the church age. But the culture was different then, much different then than it is today. 120 people, Peter's sermon, all of a sudden there were several thousand added. The Holy Spirit was working that day, don't you think? Sure, I mean, Peter's talking, and there's person number 3,000 way back there somewhere. Well, the Holy Spirit, as he's filled Peter, is also convicting that person at that moment in time. And that's why that happened the way it did, I believe. Okay? Well, that still happens today, but it happens differently. Okay? The Spirit's still working the same, but there ain't no 3,000 people here. Okay? So, we are in a post-Christendom era of time. We've actually moved past modern into postmodern, looking at the cultures outside of the church. This is the reality of where we are today. Do people out there like the church today? Oh, no. Oh, no. People in the church don't like the church today. So the people outside like it even less. They don't trust us anymore. They sure as heck don't trust him, pointing to Carlton. Philip, maybe. They don't have the authority that they used to have. You know, people used to come to the church and say, Pastor, what do you think about this thing we're talking about down here in the General Assembly. They don't do that anymore. They don't trust us to do those things. Anybody remember Andy Griffith, the old Andy Griffith show? Do you remember the episode where Barney and Andy were singing in the choir? When was the last time you saw a TV show in the last 20 years with somebody singing in the church choir? I mean, it just doesn't happen anymore. Those things have changed. Back in that day, people got up and went to church. And if you didn't get up and go to church, you felt guilty. Okay? That ain't the case anymore. The guilt, shame, fear, condemnation that the church has been preaching in my lifetime no longer has that effect on people outside of the church anymore. That's a revelation to you. Wake up, because that's the truth of the matter. Okay? So we have church. And church is good. We need church. Ava's been telling me for years, the reason we have church is so that the believers can come in and be refreshed and take off for another week. Fine and dandy. But eventually, the unbelievers are supposed to make their way to church. So we're in a conundrum. They're not going to come, and yet we're expecting them to come. Well, get past that expectation. They ain't coming. For the most part, they're not going to come. So what can we do? I have coffee shop Thursdays. I sit up at the coffee shop from 3 to 6 on Thursdays on the square in Carrollton. And Carlton's asking me to share my personal experience, so here goes. And I listen. I walk into the place, and I don't believe that I need to have the answers to, you know, the evangelism questions. What am I going to do to come in here and save all these people today? No, that's not my purpose. My purpose is to go in, listen, and see where the Holy Spirit's already working. Now, there may be days there I have nothing to add. But that's unusual. Typically, there's going to be somebody there, and oftentimes an unbeliever. And I can give you countless examples if you ever want to talk about that somewhere else, where God has opened those doors and put somebody in front of me, and we were able to share to a point to where weeks later, after the relationship was formed, weeks later, somehow or another, we happened to hit on God and Jesus. But it don't happen for a while. The relationship needs to happen first. Okay? Yeah. When I was first dating Ava back in the 60s. Yes, the 60s. She was going to church, and she tried to drag me with her, and I was, no thanks. I was a recovering Catholic at the time, so she was going to a Christian church in East Point, and I believe they were all going to hell because that's what the Catholics told me. So I managed to work past that thanks to the Holy Spirit and this and that, and she helped with that dramatically, by the way. But just knowing that that's the way people think about church. Other church people, I was a church person, I was a Catholic, other church people think that about us. Other church people think that about the traditional church. It's not just the progressive liberal folks at Grace Cafe. Now, Peter didn't have to deal with this. He was talking to a bunch of Jews, and he knew their philosophy, their history, their background, and he hit the nail on the head, because the laws and the prophets pointed exactly to the Messiah, the guy they've been waiting for, and they just missed it. So he just opened their eyes to that. It's different today. They're not looking for God. That's why they don't feel guilty when they go to church, when they don't go to church. They're not looking for God anymore. However, the young people, as I know them, are seriously seeking spiritual renewal. It's a new term, spiritual renewal. They want spiritual renewal. Now, they don't know what it is, but they want it. So, you know, perhaps they're dabbling in Zen Buddhism, or, you know, they're Taoists, or, heck, they might even be Baptists. Who knows? But the point is, they're looking. Even the atheists, okay? There's now an atheist church. There is a church out in Vegas that's ministering to this group of people, and that's all they do. And there are testimonies by the hundreds of people out of those industries that are being saved today. It ain't happening in church, just so you'll know, in case you were wondering. And, you know, sitting on coffee shop Thursdays and talking to these people, a lot of times it'll be an alcoholic or an addict, and I'll end up going to a meeting with those person that night or shortly thereafter. And that's how we end up into the discussion about God as we understand him, because that's the way AA introduces that. And it ends up being Jesus. It did for me, at least. Okay, so being available, listening to the work of the Spirit, whatever he's got going on that day, I'm just trying to plug into it. Nothing going on, Dan goes home. It's no big deal. It's not up to me. Same thing is true in the small group. We started out with the topic study in our small group, and this is where a small group with a bunch of believers is very much different than a small group with a mixed group of believers, unbelievers. We started out with the topic study, failed miserably. Nobody wanted to talk about the kind of stuff I'm talking about today. It's not what they came for. They came for a Bible study. These are a bunch of believers, and they came. So we're doing a Bible study now. It took me a while to figure it out, but that was the deal. And that's going fine, and that's well and good. We need those things. I have permission from a gentleman named Tony Crumley to talk about his ministry. Tony is a missionary, lives here in Carrollton. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there's a part of Atlanta over in Clarkston. Anybody know where Clarkston is? Over by Decatur. It's now called Clarkistan because that's where all the Afghani refugees are being dropped off. Political people that would be killed if they stayed in their country are being dropped off in that part of Atlanta because there's transit, there's jobs, there's housing, there's mosques, there's Buddhist temples, there's Catholic churches, and there's Protestant church. There's everything. Dropping these people. Tony's over there ministering to this group of people. God bless him. Tony's been to Mexico. He's been to quite a few places around the world over the years. Tony just turned 50, so he's not exactly a young man. But yeah, he's a missionary working here in Atlanta. Now, Tony goes to the churches and says, I could use some mission support. You know, it's a long drive over there. And they say, well, I hate to tell you, Tony, but our mission statement is to the ends of the earth. It's Acts 1:8. And Atlanta ain't the ends of the earth. So what you're doing doesn't fit into our mission statement. And we can't help you with that. Seriously. Okay. And I've gone around and listened to those comments being said to him in that direction. A couple of churches even dropped him when he came back from Mexico. You're not a missionary anymore. So Tony believes very fervently in the missional part of what the church should be doing. To the point to what's happened today is, today he has three groups started in Atlanta, or excuse me, in Carrollton. They're not small groups. They're not house churches. They're just three groups of people, young people, college students mostly, meeting together. And he's got a model that he follows, and they read some scripture. And, you know, there's no songs. There's none of that. It's just sitting in somebody's living room, and you open the Bible, and you do this, follow this model, and he was telling me yesterday about this one group. He's got a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 17-year-old boy in this one group. And they do the verses, and they pray, and they talk for a little while. And then the end of the deal, the end of the study, whatever you want to call it, the model says, ask them, what are you going to do with this when you leave here? And the 17-year-old looks at him and says, you know, I need to accept Jesus. Now, he's a Christian. But he had never heard grace put forward the way it was put forward that day. And he understood completely because the Spirit was at work. Do you hear what I'm saying? And he knew he needed to accept Christ into his life, really, in a heartfelt way instead of just an intellectual decision. So this is what these groups are doing in the young people community. And it's working. It's working real well. He's getting ready to start a fourth group, mind you. Now, he's volunteered. If at any time anybody wants to get together and talk about, well, I'm really not up on starting a small group. I'm worried. I don't know about the oversight, etc. I've had some questions. Tony will come in and help you with this model if you want him to do that. He'll help you one-on-one. He'll help us as a group of two or three, whatever you might need. We have resources we can turn to do this stuff. Don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to be Peter or Paul. Carlton's beating this small group drum pretty heavy. And I think that's because, just based on his reading today, they go into the housings, and that's what that looks like to him. And there's nothing wrong with that. But just like coming to church, we're a bunch of believers today. For the most part, we're all believers, pretty much in a central place about what we think here and here about that. But the point is to reach the unbelievers. And a Bible study is a great thing. Apologetics work, great stuff. But you're not going to reach and get a lot of people saved teaching to a bunch of believers and teaching apologetics or those kinds of things. We need to reach the unbelieving community. The 17-year-old who thinks he's a Christian and doesn't know any better. Before he goes to West Georgia, and the philosophy department just destroys his faith. Okay? Because that's the reality of our community, our college community here. And we've got a guy in Carrollton. Russ Crawford's got an apologetics ministry, meets every Wednesday night. He meets with the college kids, and that's exactly what he's doing, is he's undergirding the foundations of their faith. The faith that they learn from their parents is not enough to withstand the philosophy professors berating, to put it quite frankly. So he's helping with that. A lot of those kids have gone on and gone to mission fields. Several of them are now teaching in Carroll County schools. Guess what? That's a mission field. Yeah, just here to tell you. So Lee and Emily got married. They're teachers now over in Villa Rica. Brianna Bryant was one of his apologetics people. She's student or teacher of the year this year in her high school. So these kids are out there, and the spiritual renewal thing, or whatever you want to call it, it's working and it's active practically every day. But are we plugging into it? Are we plugging into it at the river's pools? No, it ain't happening. And I don't know that we're doing anything wrong. We're probably just not focused in that direction. So if it's not on your plate to focus in that direction, maybe we support Tony. Maybe you can do a little financial support to a guy that needs some gas money to continue doing what he's doing, because there's fruit being realized there. Tony befriended a Muslim in the mosque in Douglasville and baptized this man just a couple weeks ago. This stuff is happening. It's real. Tony has told us stories. He's got another Muslim friend who's from Somali. And the guy from Somali had just come back on a plane trip from there. And he's saying, you know what? There was 100 or so people out in this one village. And they all looked up and there was a vision of somebody up in the sky. They didn't know who it was because they're all Muslim. It's 99% Muslim. Well, it was Jesus. And he spoke to them in their language and told them it was him. That's how they know. Yeah. Now, there's no missionary there. There's no Bibles floating around. But this guy is traveling back and forth. Now, what they do with these political people that they bring over here is, we will fund and teach them how to grow crops, for example. And then they go back to their country and they help with that. So at the same time, Tony's trying to sow seeds of Christianity in these folks. Go back and plant that as well. So he's a guy that's doing it. I can sit here and talk about Tony for a good while because he's a heck of a guy. He's got a son who has been in the mission field as well. And Joy Griffin and her husband work out of Carrollton, Little Carrollton, and they have a worldwide ministry where they train indigenous pastors in countries all over the world, right here out of Carrollton. I mean, we just don't know these things because we're not plugged into it. And it's not our fault. We just don't know. But one of the reasons we don't know is because we don't try real hard sometimes. And that's just my personal opinion about me. There's probably more than that going on, and I don't know it all. There's no way. But there's stuff going on, and there's no reason we can't plug into it. Okay? Now, I showed you my shirt. There's an LGBT church starting up right across Highway 27 here in Carrollton. Anybody want to guess what an LGBT church is? It's a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender church. And they're providing an opening and affirming atmosphere for these folks. Because you know what? They can't go to church anywhere right now. They're not welcome in the traditional churches. Okay? I'm an alcoholic. I'm not welcome. I'm not supposed to get up and say that. You know, that's not what we do in church. But that church is opening because there's a need for that. Now, they have no intention of trying to mutually transform these folks into the image of Christ. That may happen, but they're going to be told they can retain their lifestyle, whatever that's about. And that's a starting place. There's nothing wrong with that. Please don't frown on what they're doing, etc. We need them. We need that place. And then at some point, just like all these other in-between churches that are really teaching mixtures of laws and graces, at some point people in those churches as well get everything they're going to get, and they're going to move on to the next place, hopefully someplace like here. Same thing is true with this LGBT church. They're going to hear all the right things, and then the Spirit's going to move in them to decide what they're going to do with that, just like they did with all of you. Okay? So don't worry about the sin. Don't. Let's love the people. The newcomer coming in this door is the most important person here today. Carlton shares that philosophy, and I echo that. It's they have to be loved when they walk in the door. I don't care who they killed last night. We have to love them coming in the door. That's our job. We're the church. If they don't see that, they're not coming back. If there's any of you here today that killed somebody last night, come see Carlton after church. So I'm basically done. We could go on and on, but this is kind of square one. This is opening the door, as I understood it, from Carlton's instructions to let you know that there's other things going on that we can be doing. And certainly we need to gird each other up as believers. But we also, I think, ought to be going to the ends of the earth. But you know, it said start in Judea and then to Samaria and then the ends of the earth. So our Judea is Carroll County, Carrollton. And it's okay if we minister here. And that's where my heart is. Lots of people, you know, Tony's going to Mexico on February 8th because that's where he's been. And he's got a heart for those churches that he left there. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm not going to Mexico with him. Been there, done that in a certain sort of way. But yeah, there's a place for ministry wherever you can or want or are gifted, key word, gifted to fit in. And if you're not gifted, you can be helped with that as well. People can pray and sit with you and review the scripture, and we can find out what that gifting is. But what's the bottom line? And that's what we're going to talk about when I hand out these discussion questions a little bit. What's the bottom line when we leave here today? The same thing Tony uses in his small group model. What are you going to do different tomorrow? Is where we end up at the end of our service today. Because if nothing changes, guess what? Nothing changes. Keep doing things, same things you always done. You keep getting the same results you always got. Something's got to change, or we're going to be sitting here looking at each other like this a year from now, probably saying the same things. And that's okay. It is. It's okay. But Carlton is thinking that we might want to do this a little differently. So we're going to pass out some questions and see where we go from there. That's a tough one because it's going to be different for each person. It's going to be different according to your gift, for example. For me, I find that listening is imperative because I can go in and take over a conversation in a heartbeat. Just ask Miss Louise. She'll say, oh, yeah, he'll take over and run, and she falls asleep and everything. But listening becomes key, okay? I come to church here. Philip started off so slow last week. I swear to goodness, I almost fell asleep. But then the Spirit kicked in with me, and I connected with what he was saying. Before you know it, man, my hair's growing, and my head's on fire. And yeah, I mean, I'm connected at that moment because I decided to listen to the Spirit and not just Philip, okay? So that's kind of sort of what that looks like. Again, a very personal question. Any insights there? Anybody? Yeah?
Well, we have an older friend, a couple friend that live in Douglasville, and her husband this week had a heart attack. She had to, not a heart attack, but a stroke, and she had to take him to the hospital. So yesterday we went over there and visit with him and wanted to pray with him before we left. But as I stood there just listening to them talking about hospital stuff and stuff like that, just inside of here, I heard the Spirit of God start saying, tell him how much I love him. Tell him how much I love him. Now he's not a person that, you know, goes to church every Sunday like us, but before it was over, I prayed with him. But first I sat there and I said, I want you to understand this more than anything else, that God loves you, that you are redeemed, that you're forgiven, that he's not holding anything against you, no matter what. And I mean, he got so engaged that by the time I got finished, he was just holding on to me and just like, thank you. Thank you. I said, before I leave here, you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff because you laying there on your back in the hospital and the doctors and the nurses are coming in and saying different things. But even if you can't talk, because one of the things his wife was saying when he was at home, she had to call the 911 because she couldn't understand what he was saying. I said, even when you can't, you may not be able to say something, I want you to have this in your mind. God, thank you for loving me. I know you love me. And he said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you completely whole. I'll keep you at perfect peace. And so, you know, like what Dan was saying, you just listen to what you're being prompted to do.
Ron said a very similar thing when I sat at this table. He's been doing this for a while, and the Spirit works in his life and Tamas on a very regular basis. So I've got a couple of friends, Gene and Diane Weiss. They are leading Unity at the Cross Ministries. and they go all over the place. They're trying to get the church to unify. You can imagine the brick wall that is for them. But they go to a lunch, same day, every week. They meet pastors down here at a particular restaurant, and they started asking the waitress, hey, is there anything we can pray for you? I mean, you know, very shortly thereafter, the relationship is being built. And there she's bringing other waitresses over when they come in to have lunch. and it's built. Hi, Steve. Amen. He'll change somebody's life through you. We're living vicariously through Jesus. Excellent point, Steve.
Oh, my stars. That is so great. I have to tell y'all what happened to me this week. And I know you all think that I'm pretty perfect, but I'm really not. I went to the movies on Friday night. I had passengers. I let my passengers out. It was raining. I guess it was Friday night when it was so bad. It's rained all day. And I'm trying to pull into a parking place. I've pulled up and there's a truck that's backing out, pulling in and backing out and pulling in, trying to get in a little bitty space. All of a sudden, the person who's on my passenger side starts backing out, and I am laying on the horn and everything, and they never heard me. They crunched the side of my car, even to the point where they moved the car, right? So everybody, I've already dropped my passengers off, but I can't go into the movie now till we look at it, and it just so happens that that Greer's parked somewhere else, and she comes down, and but it's raining, you can't really see what kind of damage there is or anything. I know there's a dent. There's a dent, but I don't really know how bad it is. And their car looks fine. It's just got a scratch. But, I mean, they moved my car. So I'm like, well, what do I do? Can I just forget it, or what do I need to do? And so I said, Greer, just call your dad and ask him what I should do, whether I should just let it go or not. So I decided to let that be my deciding factor, you know. And he says, well, you need to get a police report. So so then I'm sitting there, and little dollar signs go off in my head, like, oh, now, you know, because my car is 2003 and it's got dents there already in the same general vicinity. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get a new fender, or maybe Greg will do the work and we'll put some money in our pocket. It's going to be great. Let's get a police report. So Greer calls the policeman, and they'll take a long time to get there. And in the course of it, we all meet, and he lifts up the back of his lift gate and says, here, get out of the rain, honey, and all of that, you know. And he said, I totally understand. Don't worry. We have insurance. Y'all have insurance. So we're sitting there. And there's a relationship that begins. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Lord says to me, invite them to church. And I'm thinking, okay. And then we wait on the police. The police come, and he tells me who he is and everything, and that he would be interested in just paying for the work if Greg wants to do it himself or whatever. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. And then all of a sudden, it just comes out of my mouth. I said, oh. I said, do y'all go to church? Where do y'all go to church? He said, I don't go to church. He said, she used to go to church, but she doesn't go to church. And it was his wife that was driving. I said, well, I've got the perfect place for y'all. We go to church where you don't, for the people who don't do church. So that's perfect for you. I told him all about it and everything. And at that, and then we concluded our business. We got our report. And, it turns out that these days you can decide whether to report it to the insurance company or not, you know, on something like that. So I didn't even know that. So I found that out. And then,
the side, they're putting their horn in their ear and stuff.
The gentleman shared a good truth. Friday, I had a coworker. Somehow we got started talking about a need, right? And she didn't really know what scripture to stand on. And then so I gave her a very simple scripture, Psalms 23, verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I what? Shall not want. Shall not want. Shall not want, right? And she understood that. Why? Because she knew Psalms 23. But she never looked at it in the aspect of the Lord is her shepherd and she shall not want. She always heard that scripture when she was going to a funeral and they were reading it when they're coming down the aisle at the funeral. So just sharing something very, keep it simple, I guess I would say. Powerful is simple.
So there are things we can pass on to one another. I don't want to downplay the importance of a testimony, but in my case, the testimony is big because I've got a big testimony. God did a huge work in my life. I was not a nice man, and he turned that around. So that works with a lot of people who may not be nice people or think they're not, but we compare stories, and I always win. I was always worse. So yeah, that's good. But the simple part, absolutely, absolutely. Now, when it comes time for me to share, I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not Carlton. I'm not Philip. I don't share their experience. I share mine. And that's why God put that particular person in front of me, to hear that. So quit worrying about it. Press on. I'm here. Well, sure you can, Colleen. Do we want to hear it? No, of course we do.
I had a patient the last couple of weeks that said something to me that she thought God was mad at her and she was like afraid that he was going to make her sick and put her in the hospital. And that just like flew all over me. And she learned it in church, I'm sure. So I just out of my mouth just plopped out, oh, God loves you so much. Christ died. I mean, she's a Christian. Christ died for you. He's not mad at you. He's not trying to punish you by putting you in the hospital because you do something wrong. He's forgiven you, all that. And I don't know what all I said. But, you know, everybody comes to us with some problem. You know, if you talk to anybody for very long, they'll tell you some concern in their life. And in the back of their mind is probably always the thought, God's doing this to me because I did that thing back there. And even if they don't bring up God, we can have the opportunity to say, you know, God didn't do that to you. You know, God loves you so much. He wants to see that resolve for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do good for you. And that's an opportunity, even if it's not a God conversation, to bring it to God. Because they always are going to have a need or a concern or a fear or some problem. Everybody's got a problem in their life at any given moment. So that's an opportunity to bring God and say, you know, God really loves you. He wants the best for you, you know, and to be able to bring it in, to bring God in, to say that he's good and he is loving, because that's what people need to hear, because what they've always heard is that God's mad at you, he's out to punish you, he's just waiting so he could clobber you, and that's not the good news. The good news is how much he loves you and that's covered.
Thank you. So we all walked in the door this morning with some brokenness. Everybody. Whatever it may be, we all did. You can deny it all you want, but we all walked in the door with some area of brokenness in our lives. And when you walk out of here, chances are you're going to carry it with you. Yeah. You can't leave it here. It's part of your life. It's part of your personality. It's part of your soul, perhaps. But you don't have to fear it. You don't have to believe that God is going to punish you because of it. That's the message I've been hearing for 3 years, and I'm not backing out. I'm into this 100%. Now, they can kick me out again. I've been kicked out of better churches than this. But I'm not going to go back to where I was. It ain't going to happen. Carlton, do you want to share anything as we close? Okay.
I received an email this week, and if you would put up that the scripture. Before I tell you about the email, this kind of, what you've been talking about ties to this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul was talking to Timothy, a young pastor. He said, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." Now, how many times have I heard that mentioned alone in churches? We tack on grace. But you see where grace is everywhere. Grace is the foundation of all that we do and all that we are. Now, that's important. Comments about from Steve and others about the more you know your love, the more you're sensitive. Miss Jeannie, you're sensitive to the Spirit's leading when your focus is not on what you ought to be doing. We don't want this to be turned into a, well, according to that message, I've got to be doing something. I've got to start a small group. Listen, that's not it at all. The message is, we want the message to go out. What part do I play? I don't know that for you. I'm not going to tell you everybody needs to start a small group. You don't. But God will tell you something to do when you just keep focusing on Him, listening, though, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just like these testimonies, as we are going, we are the church every day. It's not specifically this that today and that tomorrow. It is, but it's all different. And the Holy Spirit is going to work through you. One of the questions I asked to the children, Brother Tim, raise your hand, and your wife over there. They write our kids' lesson 2 Sundays a week. I write it the other 2 Sundays. I'm willing to let somebody else be blessed to do that if you feel led to do that. But today, I was trying to say, how do we teach this to our kids? Why do we teach people about... Oh, let me finish this, and I'll tell you what I said. You have heard me teach these things, that they have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to others, trustworthy people, who will be able to pass them along. Do you see the pattern? You're taught grace. You're taught that God's not mad at you. You're taught that your sins are forgiven. You're taught that everything's been done. Will you believe it? Now go teach this same message to other people so that they will go teach this message to other people. So I asked the question to the kids. I says, how do we do that? And, of course, they're not got platforms like this and can't run a small group like in a home. But I said, you can let Jesus live His life through you. I didn't tell them, go be Jesus to the world. That's not how I put it to them. I said, let Christ live His life through you. Every day, start your day out with a prayer that says, Lord, this has worked for adults too. Lord, I can't be Jesus to the people. I can't show His grace to these people today. I'm so caught up in me and myself and I'll forget it. But Lord, I let You live Your life through me today. And I'm so focused on how much You love me. And God, You just work through me when I don't even realize it. Just like Colleen was talking about, I guarantee you she wasn't planning to say that today. That's just what came forth. You see? Does that make sense? Okay. So very powerful here that we're to duplicate. We are to be a part of the Holy Spirit making disciples through us. Well, how do we do that? It can be small groups. It can be coffee shop groups. It can be... Question came up about our youth. I guarantee you, these youth here, God's going to prompt them with some things to do, how to organize this maybe, and have a little group after school or something one day. I don't know. I just want you to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's up to. Miss Presnell, Judy Presnell, am I saying that right, Dan? She's the little petite lady that sits usually with Ava and Dan, but last Sunday she was over here where with me and where Brother Mike and them were sitting, and she couldn't be here, and she shot me a powerful email, Brother Philip, thanking us for teaching the message of grace. And she said that, you know, the church may want to do something like this. Pop up that billboard. I don't know if you've seen this billboard around, but she didn't tell me I could say this or I couldn't, so I'm just going to say it. She has paid for this out of pocket herself. She said it's not tied necessarily to a church. She said, I'm just really wanting people to think. And she said, it doesn't have to be this message. It can be another message. I thought, what a powerful billboard that would say, God's not mad at you. Yeah, the Christian's going to be, who put that thing up? I can just hear it now. It had to be them Grace Cafe people. Anyway, she just, that. But you see how God's just going to bring tons of ideas. Some of them you need to share with us. Some of them you just need to just do on your own. But it may be something that we can partner with you, or somebody else in the church says, I'd like to kind of be a part of that. I think the way we do that is communication. We allow you time to share and so forth. So that's basically what I wanted to leave you with, is that we don't have the answers. I'm going to be asked, are we going to start this, start that? I don't know. See, y'all thought we had a big plan, didn't you? We're going to start all these small groups, and y'all going to get to do it. No, listen, if you feel led to do something, come talk to us. Let us help you. Will you do that? I can't say the church is going to fund it. I don't know what God's up to here. We just want to be obedient to the Spirit, and most importantly, it ain't my job to empower you. Christ has already empowered you. My job is to tell you you've been empowered. You've been empowered already. You don't need me. You don't need this church, corporate, this thing right here necessarily to do whatever it is God's leading you to do. He may want us to come together. It may be something you do on your own. I know Brother Jim prints and hands out tracts. You see, I'm not a big tract person myself. I'm not good at talking to people. I'm terrified. I've witnessed to people, Jerry, because that's what I'm supposed to do. Terrified. But I didn't have this message. It is easier to do what Miss Colleen says when somebody pops up something like that and God's mad at you. Oh, man, what a platform. I'm just saying, whatever you're passionate about, don't get upset when not everybody else is passionate about the same thing. Does that make sense? Some are teachers, some are pastors, right, Philip? So, all right. Any other word? Yes. God wants everybody to be saved. And somebody's got to tell them. And you know when the Holy Spirit. That's right. That's right. He's not in the picking and choosing business. He's already died and reconciled the world to himself. Will they be reconciled to God? He's already died for them. They're already forgiven. They've really already redeemed. They've got to, by faith, believe it, though, to benefit from it. I'm telling you, that'll make some Christians mad, you tell that. But that's the truth, and we're going to keep preaching it, right? All right. Any other word? Let's stand. Really, as we close today, this is my challenge to you, to just be open to the Spirit's leading. Let's just go to the Father. Lord, we know that you're up to some very unusual, out-of-the-ordinary type methods of reaching people here in this church. That, Father, we're not to necessarily mimic and copy the New Testament church. I think we can gain principles, but as Dan said, that they knew the audience they had back then. They were steeped in the law, and they knew how to witness to them. But we don't have that benefit right now of knowing exactly where everybody is at. It's so crazy out there. There's so many beliefs. There's so many mindsets and mentalities and paradigms and shifts. And my goodness, how would we ever figure out a cookie cutter approach. It's not one. But Lord, your Holy Spirit is powerful. He knows everything that everybody's thinking. Father, we're just to tap into you and just say, Lord, every day, God, I don't have a clue what my part is to be in this. And I know it's individually sometimes, but if I'm to be a part of a corporate small group at a coffee shop, or I'm just going to intentionally stay here at church and just be welcoming people and just saying, how are you doing? And, you know, any way I can help you, just to be open to people and listening to people. Father, I don't know what you're up to. And I'm thankful that I don't have to know it all. I just get the blessings to be on this grace wave of seeing what you're doing and sweeping of this world with your love and mercy. And Father, just thank you for what you're going to do. Father, as you begin to birth new, fresh ideas in our minds, that we won't just tuck them down and won't say, well, I can't do that. That we'll open up and we'll talk it around to Dan, to Jerry, to Jim, to Philip, to me, to Colleen, to all Ava, all these, everybody that's here, just bounce things off of each other and say, what is this? What do you think about this? And you might be amazed how God wants to bring somebody with you with that same passion. And so, God, I don't know how to lead this kind of church. I'm not used to this. I'm used to telling everybody what to do and getting committees to start it. Thank God you freed me from that. And so I don't know what I'm doing. Philip don't know what he's doing. We're just up here trusting you to lead us one day at a time. And God, for those that are here today that are discouraged, they've been encouraged, but God, they need to continually be encouraged today. And I love them, and I thank you most importantly that you love them. Just remind them, knock on the door of their heart, that God, you're right there. You hadn't forgotten them. In that healing, in that finances, in that relationship, in whatever it is people are dealing with today, God, just encourage them. And just, God, meet those needs powerfully and in the timing of which it will bring the most glory and honor to yourself. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.